I really launched on a journey here, tackling a relatively small part of the scriptures, chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, talking about the seven assemblies. This talk today is part 8 of a continuing series. I find so much in this section. It's hard to go beyond one phrase. Today we're just going to talk about a half a phrase in one of the verses. But if you would recall, this study in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, each assembly receives a word from Yahshua spoken to John according to a seven-tiered outline that includes 1, a brief greeting to each assembly, 2, a proclamation of a spiritual trait or a royal entitlement of Yahshua. He's saying who he is and basically what his character is. And 3, praise for the work that each assembly has done. 4, a criticism of its failings or shortcomings. 5, a warning. 6, an exhortation. And 7, a promise to that assembly. And the way I've structured this series is to take all of Yahshua's greetings, all of his proclamations, all of his praises, criticisms, warnings, exhortations, and promises, and have bundled them together in these categories so that we may get a clearer picture of what he values in us, what he sees as our shortcomings, what he looks for in us to encourage us, what dangers he says lays ahead of us, what he prescribes for our reconciliation, and finally, his assurance of his faithfulness in the form of a promise leading to hope that we may have cause to endure to the end. Our last episode, if you will, began a discussion of the criticisms that Yahshua made to the seven assemblies in Asia Minor, today called Eastern Turkey. The first of Yahshua's criticism was in Revelation 2, verse 4, spoken to the assembly at Ephesus, in which he stated, "I have this against you, that you have left your first love." And in that talk, we concluded that our first love is the love found in the law of Yahweh, given to us out of love, that we might live. We are commanded to love others as we love ourselves. Out of love, Yahweh offered his son, Yahshua, in order to bring to fruition Yahweh's promise that he would rescue us, necessitating the sacrifice of his son. The first love is the love we felt in our hearts in gratitude for the gift of the promise of everlasting life, in which we lost our anxiety about our future and took care of the needs of those here and now, in this present world, in this world of darkness. Abandoning our first love means giving up hope, not serving Yahweh in obedience to his will, living in anxiety, neglecting prayer, and taking instead of giving. Yahweh is giving. Yahweh is love. And if we abandon Yahweh, how can we say that we love anyone? Yahshua's criticism is designed to prevent us from abandoning hope. Why? Because he loves us. The next of Yahshua's criticisms is found in Revelation 2, verse 9, part B, where it says, "I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan." Well, that's pretty harsh. I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Now, the word blasphemy is the Greek word blasphemion, which means vilification against Yahweh. It's formed from two words, blapto, which means to hinder or injure, and fame, where we get our word fame. So injure, fame, is what blasphemy means. It means to hinder, injure, speak evil about, rail against, or attempt to destroy the glory and the name of Yahweh. Blasphemy is a direct violation of the third commandment, which says, you shall not bring the name of Yahweh to ruination. I know most people hear it as not take the name of Yahweh in vain. In vain means to destroy. Let me ask you, is it blasphemy, therefore, to say or teach that the law of Yahweh is dead? Is it blasphemy to reject the seventh-day Sabbath of Yahweh and worship God on Sunday? Is it blasphemy to reject the appointed times of Yahweh and celebrate pagan holy days? The word Jews in this passage is the Greek word Judaios, taken from the Hebrew word Yehuda, which means to celebrate and worship Yah. Yehuda means to celebrate Yah, to worship Yah. Those who are the worshipers of Yahweh are called Yahudim, translated Jews. Here, I want to bring up a subject that needs to be spoken loud and clearly. Everywhere I hear or read about the law of the Jews, the Jewish Messiah, the Jewish temple, the Jewish God, and on and on. The word Jewish has come to represent everything that is spoken of the Old Testament. Did you know that Abraham was a Jew? I didn't. And you will be surprised. I mean, when you ask people, was he a Jew? They'll say yes. So if Abraham was a Jew, then his sons must be Jewish, right? Was Ishmael his son? Yes. Indeed he was. So Ishmael must be a Jew. Tell that to the Islamic people and see what their reaction is. The same must be said for Abraham's son Isaac and his son Esau, who along with the descendants of Ishmael make up the Arab and Palestinian people. Was Moses a Jew? Some will say yes, even though the scripture declares that Moses' brother Aaron was a Levite. The point I'm trying to make concerns the utter confusion that is perpetuated even in scholarly discussions about the, quote, Jewish people. The first mention of the word Jew in the Bible is in the book of Esther, whose real name was Hadassah, meaning the myrtle, which was written about, or is written between the years 460 and 350 B.C. It was a couple of hundred years earlier that the southern kingdom, the house of Judah, was captured and taken to Babylon for 70 years and then released under King Cyrus to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. These people of Judea are the ones the scriptures refer to as the Jews. Prior to this, there were no Jews per se. Well then, who was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, and Moses? Please turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 14 says, "And Yahweh said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to Yahweh. Abram, as it turns out, whose name was later changed by Yahweh to Abraham, was a Hebrew from Hebron. So then were Isaac and Ishmael, Jacob named Israel, and Esau Hebrews. They were also Shemites, or Semitic peoples, having descended from Shem, one of the sons of Noah. Jacob was named Israel by a man with whom he wrestled, whom Jacob described as Elohim. He had 12 sons who fathered 12 tribes, one of whom was named Judah. Actually, Yehuda, in honor of celebrating Yahweh. It was primarily members of Judah, Benjamin and Levi, who were captured, taken to Babylon, and who returned 70 years later. The nation was referred to as Judea, and the people became known as Jews. Okay, here's the problem. When the Jews returned from Babylon, they brought with them names and traditions of Babylon. They named the months of the year after Babylonian deities and wrote interpretations of the scriptures called the Mishnah, the Talmud, and the Kabbalah. These documents became more meaningful to the Jews than the scriptures themselves. 300 years before Yahshua came, the Greek conqueror Alexander captured Judea and mandated Greek philosophies and religion in that area. The temple was defiled. The Jewish leaders succumbed to the will of their conquerors. 100 years before the Messiah came, the Roman Empire took the land of Judea from the Greeks and instituted their own laws. They did, however, allow the Jews to practice their religion and permitted them to worship in the temple. Still, their worship had been altered through traditions they created over the centuries. It was over these traditions that Yahshua the Messiah railed against the Jewish leaders, teachers, priests, and scribes, for their traditions covered up and blasphemed the law of Yahweh. The point I'm trying to make here is that the term Jew or Jewish has become synonymous with Hebrew and Israelite, but it is not. The moniker, the name Jew or Jewish, is only associated scripturally with the people who returned from Judea from Babylon, who created their own laws and traditions, and who created a new religion called Judaism. Judaism. Ism is defined as a distinctive doctrine, system, or theory. Judaism is a doctrine, a philosophical system, a school of thought, a dogma, and a creed. In short, it is something different than what came before. And here is the heart of the matter. What do we call it when someone hinders, injures, speaks evil about, rails against, or attempts to destroy the law, the glory, and the name of Yahweh? What do we call it? Is it not blasphemy? Perhaps we can now understand why Yahshua uses such harsh terms as synagogue of Satan when he points to those who say they are Jews, celebrate those who celebrate Yahweh, and are not, who say they celebrate Yahweh and do not celebrate. What exactly qualifies someone as a member of the synagogue of Satan? If you would turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7, beginning there, we read, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and called Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Verse 10. "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our Elohim and the power of his Messiah have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our Elohim day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." Verse 13. "Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away with the flood, by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony, who have the faith of Yahshua the Messiah." So Satan is a destroyer. He is the accuser. He is the dung god, Baal-zebub, which translated Lord of the Flies, the serpent in the Garden of Eden, the father of lies, the enemy of Yahweh, the man of sin, the mighty one of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the tempter, and the prince of the demons. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 31. "Then Yahshua said to those Jews who believed him, If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him." And I wonder, are these the same Jews who believed, or are these different Jews? "They answered him, We are Abraham's descendants, and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Yahshua answered them, Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever. But a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father." They answered him and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Yahshua said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from Yahweh. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, Yahweh. Joshua said to them, if Yahweh were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from Yahweh, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Therefore, because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of Yahweh hears Yahweh's words. Therefore, you do not hear, because you are not of Yahweh. Joshua was speaking to the Yahudim who believed him, but who responded to him by defending themselves against Joshua's words. Clearly, they were those who did not believe him. They were those who became the Jews of Judaism. Matthew in chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 36. Then Joshua sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares, the weeds, are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be in the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The tares are gathered separately from the wheat, then burned in the fire. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. Offend who? Those who offend Yahweh. And those who practice lawlessness. Whose law? The law of Yahweh. What other law could Joshua be referring to? Those who reject the law of Yahweh are the tares, destined for the fire. Now, bear in mind that Joshua's words are not condemnation. They are criticisms. They are a wake-up call to those who desire to worship the Creator, whose name is Yahweh, who has given us the law through his faithful servant Moses, and who has given us the means by the way of the sacrifice of his son Yahshua to rescue us and redeem us from death. So wake up, those of you who sleep. Awake, O Israel. Put off your slumber, and the truth shall make you free. For out of Zion comes your deliverer in the year of Jubilee. Proverbs 6 and verse 9 says, "How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man." Psalm 132, verse 4. You don't have to go there. It's just a short verse I want to read to you. Psalm 132, verse 4 and 5 says, "I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for Yahweh, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob." That's David speaking. And in Psalm 121, if you want to go there, I want to read the whole psalm. Psalm 121 begins describing it as a song of ascents. "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from Yahweh, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Yahweh is your keeper. Yahweh is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Yahweh shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. Yahweh shall preserve your going out and you're coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." And in closing, I'd like you to turn to the book of Isaiah and chapter 56. And remember that we're just looking at that verse in Revelation that talks, where Yahshua says and talks about those who celebrate Yahweh but are instead, say they celebrate Yahweh but are instead the synagogue of Satan. I should say also that it may sound like I'm just speaking about Judaism, but I'm also including in those who reject Yahweh and His law, those of Christianity, those who have made up their own laws and their own feasts and celebrate on their own day. Anyone, no matter what faith you are, no matter who you are, if you reject the law of Yahweh, you are in serious danger. Isaiah 56, starting verse 1. "Thus says Yahweh, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to Yahweh speak, saying, 'Yahweh has utterly separated me from his people,' nor let the eunuch say, 'Here I am, a dry tree.' For thus says Yahweh, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to Yahweh to serve Him and to love the name of Yahweh, to be His servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Almighty Yahweh who gathers the outcasts of Israel, says, "Yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him." Him refers to Israel. "All you beasts of the field, come to devour all you beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs that cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they are greedy dogs which never have enough. And they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his own gain from his own territory. Come, one says, I will bring wine, and we will fill ourselves with intoxicating drink. Tomorrow will be as today, and much more abundant." Well, frankly, I don't think so. I think this wicked world is headed for a great calamity. But praise be to Yahweh. Let us thank Yahweh through Yahshua for His Holy Spirit, which He has placed in our hearts to see the truth, to see the law of Yahweh and how His Messiah came to restore that law to His people. May it be so now and forever. Hallelujah.